Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Siakam the slam!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles. Rate, review, subscribe on any podcast platform you use and on YouTube. Everything. What do they do, CJ? What do they do?
Everything. Just come.
Like it.
Come see us. Like it. Repost it.
Yes.
The remix thing people are doing now when everybody sits on one side of the screen and looks stupid and just nod their head. Do that. Do anything you want to do, man.
Today we have a guest. I spoke to Brian Mackin during the summertime. If anyone doesn't know, he works with Scotty quite a bit, and I thought it'd be a good time to, you know, at the midway point, slightly past the midway point, to check in and see what he's seen from the rookie, the sophomore rather, who was, you know, coming off of the Rising Stars game. That was a great showing and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you guys saw this, but did you see during the celebration or the trophy ceremony, he was showing the dudes where to go? Like, now you got to give it to Pal, right?
Right.
Give it to him. Hold the trophy up. Guys didn't know how to win. But Scotty does.
Winners know how to win, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Brian, man, how are you?
Everything's going well, man. Thanks for having me, man. You guys do an exceptional job with the podcast. I'm a subscriber, so I appreciate, you know what I mean? Just the perspective and the raw content that you give. It's good to see.
It's appreciated.
That's the goal, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Something a little bit different with a little bit of paprika, a little bit of caliente.
You know my favorite line. My favorite line, I'm not media, I'm a hooper, so... Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So we're going to talk basketball. I'm going to talk about basketball like a hooper. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to – how do we get better? How we fix situations? How we encourage? Right. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of today's conversation. Because, Scotty, I mean, you could say that it's been a little bit up and down, even though, I mean, he's still a sophomore. He's still an incredible player, incredible talent. But checking in on – what Brian has seen, I think, is where the value is. So just overall, your general thoughts on the Raptors season so far?
I think it's been just a weird season for them. I don't think they haven't really, as a team, as a whole, they haven't gotten into like a good rhythm on either end of the floor, offensively or defensively. And I think, you know, like they've struggled defensively, and I think a lot of that is just because they haven't been they had a stretch where they weren't shooting the ball well, and I mean, as CJ knows, no matter how, you know, much you love the game, like when you hitting shots, you do a lot better job on defense, and just your energy is better. And I think, you know, when guys aren't hitting shots and the ball isn't moving, you know, certain people are just taking upon themselves to try to, you know, get the offense going themselves. So. And then when you start going down that path, like the ball really stops moving. So I think it's just been a weird year. They had a lot of injuries that really contributed to them, you know, not being able to mesh together. And I think they had like 30-something different starting lineups. So it's just been just a weird season for them. They haven't really, you know, found their groove yet. Which hopefully these last 20 or so games that they can find it.
Yeah. During the Dame time right here, TikTok.
I agree with you on both fronts of that, though. Yeah, both fronts of that. Like, it's been weird. Like, when you depended on these big performances, like, there's guys that have big performances and save games, or guys that are hot and are killing and they go on stretches and winning games. But when one of those said guys isn't having a big night, it's a lot harder for them to pick up as a unit. Like, to be able to find offense without it being an ISO or somebody going off for 10, 12 straight in the quarter sometimes. Like, you got guys capable of it, but you don't want to be leaning on that all the time.
Right. Like,
you want to be able to get an even spread when you got them talented guys and you just pick out the mismatches or the plays that's working. But when you got to be so dependent on that, it's hard.
Yeah,
and then, like you said, you're not shooting the ball. Like, when guys not getting touches and you're not shooting well when you do get a touch, it's human nature. Like, it's hard to stay locked in when it's holding over your head for 10 games straight and you won for 19. It's hard to play the game roundly, like, well-roundedly.
Yeah.
So from the offseason work you've done with Scotty, and I think it also, I mean, you said this before we started recording, that you're coming up every 1 or 2 weeks or so. Just to, I mean, what are you doing with Scotty when you do come up?
Just want to keep him sharp, you know, keep everything feeling good. Want to, our goal is for him to get better throughout the season. So, you know, we don't have to wait. We don't only work out in the summer. You know, in the summertime, you only get like 2 or 3 months. So we want to continue to just get him going in the right direction and improving throughout the year, becoming a better shooter, becoming a ball handler. And then, you know, seeing different things throughout the year, how defenses are guarding them, what things we need to continue to work on. So he's growing throughout the season, not just in the summertime.
Speaking of like the summertime, how do you go about putting together the program? Like when you get ready to come home, like are y'all in constant conversation about, I wonder, is that him behind you? Constant conversation.
Oh, yes.
Are y'all in constant conversation throughout the season? Like, all right, this summer, this really got to be a thing because I'm starting to see more of this. Or are y'all just, like you said, throughout the season working, and by the time you get to the summer, you feel like you're moving on to some other stuff?
Yeah, I think it's just so we can find the consistency. I think we just consistently kind of work on the same things, and just trying to get him more of a concept of how he's playing, how he's attacking the defense. But throughout the year, we'll see like sometimes that, you know, he needs to attack in different matchups, different ways. And the biggest thing I think for him is to continue the skill work, but kind of flip his mentality from being so much of like play, make, play, make, play, make to being, you know, you're really looking to score all the time, but you're just willing to make the right play if the defense helps. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of been, you know, that's a big of our, like a huge majority of our focus, just watching a lot of film and finding different spaces on, you know, where you could be more aggressive offensively. And then that's going to, you know, he's such a team first guy. That's going to eventually like help his playmaking when he's looking to score more.
What have you seen translate the best from your off-season work to what we've seen during the season? And I think it's also important that we point out that he's had like 3 separate roles within this season. I found like the Raptors started using more pick and roll, and then he became like the Marcus Gasol next action big. But before that, they're running their weaves or horn sets, and he had a role, but also was very like ISO heavy their offense as a whole. But now it's becoming more and more fluid over time. But I mean, yeah, question remains, like, what have you seen translate the best from the work that you've done with him?
I think his ball handling, he's able to get downhill and make plays. And his reads, like because he handles the ball so well, he's been able to read defenses and kind of be, you know, ahead of the defense and making the right pass early. I think it was one of the craziest plays that he made. I think he was on the left block against the New York Knicks. And I think he was doing pretty good at getting to the basket against them from like the mid-post area. And they went to an early rotation, and he spotted it before they even like moved to hit the guy in the corner. I think it was OG in the corner for a 3. Like the ball literally like went right over the guy's head, the defender's head.
Oh, I remember that one.
I think he's just – that because he can handle the ball so well, he's able to, it allows him to be more creative and playmaking and things like that. I think he's, you know, if you look at his shooting percentage, it's probably gone down like 3%, but he's not getting as many like dump downs or offensive rebounds. I think other teams are making it a point to keep him off of the offensive board. And a lot of times at the point guard position, his first responsibility is to get back, so he doesn't have as many easy shots. So the shooting percentage, like you say, that it dipped, but he's taking a lot, you know, harder shots. He's taking a lot more mid-range jumpers, a lot more threes. So although the 3-point percentage is kind of the same, I'm just like, I'm ecstatic about his willingness to continue to take it through, you know what I mean? Like him not shooting it well at points during the season. So that's telling me that it feels good, you know, and if it feels good, it's eventually, I mean, CJ knows if you put in the work, it's eventually going to fall. So I'm happy about, like, you can kind of see, like, his game forming to where it will be. At times, it's not as consistent, but like in the fourth quarter, when it's time to win the game, like you've seen him like aggressively, look for a shot and find spaces on where he'll be to score. So I think a whole it's starting to formulate a little bit more. It's starting to look like, not just a kind of like a garbage man getting like dunked downs, being in the dunker spot or offensive rebounds, running the floor. Like on the half court set, he's starting to formulate like what his game is going to be. I mean, it's not as consistent because, that's just like you said, he's played three different roles and he doesn't have the ball in his hands all the time, but you can see flashes of the direction that it's going. So that's good to see.
Yeah, those the flashes that come from just going through the fire. Like you're just playing. You need minutes. You gain, first of all, his confidence in himself, the confidence he'll get from the players that he's on the floor with. You know what I mean? And then the three roles, I always looked at that as being trusted by my coaching staff. Like them believing in my abilities. I always try to look at that as not them moving me around because they're making space for somebody else to do something. Like, because they could easily replace me. If they had to take me out of my position, they could just take me out of the game and put somebody else they thought. But if they can move me around and they trusted that for a lot of minutes at a time, like for him to be able to go play point guard, especially when I saw them in San Antonio when Fred was out. So it was a lot of point guard. And I can attest to the reads that you're talking about because that was the first thing that popped out of me from last year, just seeing the way he was seeing the floor and the plays he was
Quickly
making.
too.
Yeah, like in the passes he was making and the passes he's able to make because of his size from that position. That was like the most impressive thing to me about that game, and the fact that he was picking up the other point guard full court. That is nuts. I tweeted about that. It's insane to me. Like he's not a point guard. He's playing point guard offensively, handling it, and then turning around and picking up the point guard, like at the free throw line. And that's a wild. That's wild to me.
As he develops as a player, and you guys have alluded to this a little bit, that he has so many different skills. And I would imagine, I think CJ and I have talked about this too, is that when you do have so many skills, an array of ways in which you can impact the game, and some players, their role is a bit more focused. They're coming off the bench and they're the bench scorer, they're the post scorer, they're the screener, yada, yada, yada. But for Scotty, I would imagine that, and this isn't going to be figured out like anytime soon, which is part of his like of his charisma and his ability to just impact the game in so many ways, but knowing what to do or deciding what to do at any given point, I would imagine it takes like years to decide. And he's already making progress with it, but knowing when do I take a pull-up jumper here, when do I make the pass, because he is a playmaker at by nature, and so he's already thinking like, how can I create offense for my teammates, when probably sometimes it's like just go attack. Like it's a fine balance.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I think like CJ said, like it you just gotta go through the fire and you just gotta learn the game. I think that's an underrated, aspect of it is that, when you're young, most guys who are the fourth pick, they're on teams where it really doesn't matter, so they can just go out there and the organization is literally saying just make as many mistakes as possible, like and go figure it out. And I think with the Raptors, you have some older guys who are elite, so you have to kind of find ways on how to impact the game every single night. And I think it's, it's to his credit that he figures it out, No matter what it is, it may take a game or two, or they're like when Indiana and I think Memphis was playing them super drop and everybody's like, why don't he shoot it? But he understands that if I just go dribble handoff, like Gary's going to get a wide open 15 footer. That's like a 60, 70% shot for Gary. So, yeah, it just takes time. And I think back to CJ's point, like we haven't really seen like this type of player, before. It's kind of like Kawhi, but it's like really like playmaking forward. So, when people have never seen it before, it's kind of like you don't know what to think of it. You know what I mean? You don't know if it's like him not being aggressive, or is it him like trying to make a playmaker, or does he not care about scoring, or you know what I mean? So it's like it's gonna like he's not worried. I'm not worried. We all know what it's gonna be, and he's got great habits. Like he puts his work in all the time. He stretches, eat well. Like, those things are going to translate. It's going to take like 3 year 3 year 5, you're going to see like, oh shit, like this is crazy.
Yeah. That freedom is earned though. Like, and I don't mean by your coaching and by the players you playing with. I don't mean that from them too, but first it's earned from yourself. From you trusting yourself and just your game. When you got this big skill set, right? And you're expanding your game, and there's so many things that you could do, you want to get to a point where you're not thinking about what I could do. You just do them. You just play and you react. Like, when you're expanding and you still adding stuff and people been talking to you about the last 5 games, this shot being there or that being there, you still computing. When you get to the point where you earn that freedom from all that gym time and all those minutes you play, when everything is just you being in it and being free, then we'll see, like you saying, that jump, because those minutes will catch up, and that confidence in itself will catch up, that him recognizing the defense, like you said, with the play in New York before it happens, that happens more frequent, it's less inconsistent, and now he's just playing. There's no thought process. I don't have to worry about if I'm going to make the right decision. If I shot the ball, that was the right decision.
Right.
If I passed it, that was the right decision. If I did the dribble handoff, like he did, everything is already is seen and rehearsed and watched on film and played through and lost games, won games, big games, bad nights. All that stuff is going to roll into a ball and turn into this all-star caliber player that we're looking at.
Yeah, for sure.
There was a stretch in November, December or so where he was receiving probably the most criticism I've seen from my Twitter timeline, from Toronto media as a whole, even like NBA media as a whole. I found it very strange because, like, they're talking about, I mean, he got such a rare talent. He's in his sophomore year. The Raptors aren't playing well. So how many players are going to be playing well when your team isn't playing well as a whole either? Like, there was a lot of things that were going down. But I would imagine when you mentioned you want to keep him sharp, that's both physical, that's mental, that's emotional. So what was going on with him during that time? Was he just like, we'll figure it out or we're going to get better? Because we know that losses impact him a lot. He doesn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he doesn't the great thing about him is he doesn't get too high or get too low on himself. So he wasn't really like too stressed about it. He was just – it's just another thing that – he has to go through, you know what I mean? And I think he understands like that everything's a process. And I think he was a lot of things that was going on with his body, it wasn't all the way right. So it was, but he was just playing through things. So you start to see it, like he's back healthy, and you see like he wasn't even dunking for some points of the season. But now he got his body right in, you start to feel a lot better. Then you start to see him just pick up his play. But, like, no matter what's going on, he's never, like, too high or too low. He's always just, yo, we got to go to, like, bad games, good games, we still going to the gym. You know what I mean? We still going to the gym. We still hitting the gym. So, these guys, like, these kids these days are, like, they're a little different. Like, these kids been, you know, like, he's been playing USA basketball with some of the best players in the world since he was – you know, 14, 15 years old. So, like, this is a huge stage, but, you know, he's always played on a bigger stage. He's always been, like, social media freaking going viral and shit like that. Like, so, like, these kids just have it's not too big for them. You know what I mean? It's like, they almost expect them to be, they expect that the next step has always been something bigger. So they already, he's just waiting for it to be his time to be an all NBA guy. There's no doubt in his mind that that's what his trajectory is.
Because it just hasn't happened yet.
That's just how it is. And he just like, I just need to keep putting it on the work. The work gonna show. That's all he said. The work gonna show. So, he wasn't freaking out or losing sleep or anything. You know what I mean? He was doing the same thing, still putting in work. It was just another thing that he had to figure out.
It's part of the fire too. We talking about. I think it's good to go through that because one, it's two things. One is that you see – it's proving you right. Like he think he is an all-NBA, all-star caliber player. By people freaking out about him not playing at that level lets him know that they think that too. Like you've shown that this is expected of you. Like this is something that everybody else can see it too, and that's why they upset. It's not a personal attack. It's you've shown us that you could do this. And we want you to do this. So let's both go be right. You know what I mean? Yep. Let's both get after it. And like, as long as you said, as long as the habits outweigh the emotions, it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Like, it don't matter what I felt like today or earlier today or yesterday or whatever. It matters what I got to do. What I got to do is what I got to do. I made the negotiations with myself. I set the contract on the table. We signed it. This is the type of work we was going to do because this is where we want to go. And we do it. No matter if I'm 0 for 12 or 10 for 12. I'm doing the same routine the next day because the goal is to try to be 10 for 12 every day.
Right.
That's rare, CJ, right? For someone in their early years in the NBA, like, you've been around a lot of different rookies and you've talked about it on the pod, that getting to that point where you're so focused and confident in yourself that you know just getting back to work is going to solve everything and you know it's a process. That's tough.
Yeah, yeah. It's rare because, especially when you're younger, because it's not like, let's be real about it. It's especially at this stage, everybody's a little nicer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everything's easier. People around more. They doing more for you. They talking about you more. Things are going well. Like, and you got to always be prepared for the rain.
Right.
You got to always be prepared for that. You always got to know, because what's going to happen is when the rain comes, you're going to go back to your habits. And if your habits have been bad and you just been playing good, you're not going to be able to climb out of that hole. Because you're going to look around and not know where to go. You don't know what you should do to stay consistent because you've just been getting lucky. I shouldn't call it luck. You've just been playing well for a while. And you got to stay sharp. So once you get unsharp, which is bound to happen, practices, traveling, you're a little tired, this, that, and the third, a little bit of an injury, you got to be super sharp now. One leg not working the same as the other. So I'm not getting to the basket, so my jumper still got to be sharp. I got to be able to pass. My moves got to be crisper. They got to be sharper because I don't have the same speed. There's so many things that come in and out of your spectrum during the season that's going to depend on just your habits. When you're going through a slump, your habits is what's going to bring you out of it. My biggest thing was, numbers is not going to lie. If you a 39, 40% three-point shooter, it don't matter. If you hit a point where you shooting 25% or whatever, it's always going to even out as long as the work is done, which means I got a month coming where I'm going to shoot 48%. I know that. So my routine does not change. I know it's coming back around. This happened to my first year in Toronto. Going into the playoffs, I'm having a slump. Everybody's bugging out. You can ask anybody that was in that gym. They saw me in there before practice, after practice. Did I know it was there? Yeah, but I didn't stop doing what I was doing. The playoffs started, I shot 40 whatever percent throughout the playoffs. I knew that was going to happen. I wasn't worried about that. Yeah. But they don't know that. Nobody outside knows that.
Right.
So we talked about the three roles that he had. And for a little while, he was that next action screen and roller playmaker from the high post area. During that time, what were the conversations around that role being inherited to him? Is there anything that changes? Because he's a person who wants to be a point guard. And you are a point guard in a way in that case, but it's more like a big point guard, right? But you're operating from a different part of the court. So what was the conversations around that time?
I mean, you see it in Denver with Jokic. He's basically the point guard of the team and everything runs through the high post. So, you know, he can still facilitate offense from that space. The main thing is just for him to continue to be aggressive wherever he is, you know, just to continue to be aggressive and everything will take care of itself because he's just he makes the right play so much that if he's aggressive, it's going to be successful. Somebody's going to get a wide open shot, whether it be him or whether it be, you know, one of his teammates. So there really wasn't much conversation. When he was at that spot, he was like, yo, we can run an offense through me at the elbow, like Jokic. He made that comment. So he's okay, man, with being whatever it is. He just wants to be out there, and he just mainly just wants to win. So, and like he said, I think he said in the interview, like, he just focuses on winning. He doesn't really focus too much on you know, is this guy shooting more than me or am I doing this? Because as you see in the fourth quarter, when it's time to win, that's when he really asserts himself into the game. Because, you know, it's still the belief in himself that You know, I can get downhill whenever I want. I can do this whenever I want. I can do that whenever I want. He's supremely confident in what he can do. And even like the confidence may at times be before like the real skill level has really like their skill level and experience is set in, you know, so he hasn't lost confidence, but he's, you know, he's always trying to do the best thing to win. And that's kind of his point, the point guard mentality that he has. You know, point guard's job is to make sure, you know, you do whatever it takes to win that game. So.
And even at points, being aggressive yourself. It's like an ongoing thing around here that people are just like, yeah, so fourth quarter comes around, here comes Scotty. Right? Here he comes looking for his shots. And
that's the best time to have. That's the best time
to have. It's true. It's true. But like, I mean, how many – Yeah, I mean, how many players before him have done the exact same thing? They spend three quarters, three and a half quarters. We saw Kyle Lowry do it. He always did that, right?
Yeah.
You know, facilitate, get everyone motivated, get everyone feeling good, get everyone feeling like they're going to make the next shot. And then when it comes to it, you know, you're down by four or five with 5 minutes left. And it's like, all right, well, let's bring this home.
But how much easier does that make the game on him in the fourth also by playing that way? If Fred's hit four threes, Pascal's got 28, OG's got 17, whoever else is on the floor has gotten three dunks because he's due dump offs. Now, when I go into my spacing and I get this elbow ISO, who's coming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Who's coming to help? If you can, if you want, but like, I'm going to just have 9 assists instead of 22. But either way, it's the right play.
Yeah. And I mean, we just been encouraging, like, because sometimes he just wouldn't shoot the ball at all. Just to continue to just get a couple up. You know what I mean? Just get a couple up just so you can stay in the rhythm. So, you know what I mean? Going back to, like, the player development side of it, he's had to identify, you know, when does the other team have four fouls? When can I get an easy foul, get to the line? When can, you know, they're on an 8-0 run.
Chestnut checkers right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other team's on an 8-0 run. Like, how can I, you know, maybe get a step up, force a switch, and get us an easy basket? You know what I mean? So, like, and those are just kind of like the game within the game, the little intricacies of him becoming a point guard, like a really good point guard. And, like, he's got to identify the flow of the game. And I think he's got enough skill level to dictate the flow of the game. You know, it just takes a little bit more, you know, focus and experience and just understanding on, you know what I mean, everything that's going on him. Because he's basically like the heartbeat of the game where he can just feel what's going on. Oh, this guy's got it going. Oh, Pascal's, we need to get Pascal an easy one because, you know, he's struggling maybe this game. Or maybe, you know, let's get Fred an easy catch and shoot from the corner because whatever, or maybe Fred is hidden, so I'm gonna go screen with Fred. I'm gonna turn the corner and get something easier. And I mean, just a small intricacy of the game that, you know, is just experience. Most of those things, because you just gotta like there's not a drill for that stuff. You know, it's just watching film, correcting it, going back. Hey, look at the time and the score. Yo, they just went on a 6-0 run. Yo, you gotta hunt your matchups and you gotta be more aggressive in this space, just so those runs don't be 10-2. You know what I mean? If they're 8-2 or 6-2, that's all the, you know, when it's time for you to be you in the fourth quarter, now you don't have to, you know, fight and claw as much. You know what I mean? You just got to make a play here and play there, and you got to right there for the win.
Yeah, we used to always say ain't no drill, no 2-on-2, 1-on-1, none of that can substitute for minutes. It don't matter how many games you win, how many practice things you win, how many, like, we used to get the belt in Toronto, you know, you get the belt in training camp. It don't matter how many times you take that belt home, we cannot substitute for no real minutes in the game. And you always hear guys talk about the game slowing down. Like, everybody uses that term. It's just familiarity. That's what it is. It's not that people are moving slower. You just know what's going on. Right. And it's just aware. And the more aware you can be, then the more aware, like, those point guards, those elite point guards, their awareness is at a height of, like, I didn't have it. That wasn't, I didn't have that. That wasn't part of my game. But for them to be able to play the game the way they play it and have a tab on everything that's going on and mess with the coach, the other team's coach, and be knowing the plays that's being called on their side and know what plays I'm going to run. Like, Earl Watson was one of the first point guards that I had a real deep conversation about this with, which is ironic that he's in Toronto now. he used to talk about him having a playbook before he even got in the game. Mm-hmm. He was going to get in the game. He was going to have 3 or 4 plays that he was going to run in the flow of things just to touch on how they was guarding it. So now that I know how they guarding it, now I know who I'm going to go to, who I'm going to pick on until I come out the game. Right. I'm going to run this pick and roll on the wing. I'm going to run this screen away for the shooter. And I'm going to run one other play for somebody else so I can test that matchup. And whichever one give me the most information, give me the best feedback, I'm going to go at that until they stop it.
Right.
And then I'm going to run this pick and roll because I know they're in the drop, and I'm going to attack the big. Yep. And I'm going to do that 4 times so they change it. Then I'm going to sort of screen array for the shooter. They topside and go back door. I'm going to throw you a lob. Like he already had it already down when we came off the bench. And I thought that was like, I would have never thought 4 plays in advance like that. Mm-hmm. Like that wasn't my role. It wasn't what I grew to be as a basketball player.
Right.
And Nick mentioned that today, actually. He was saying that, you know, in his Nick Nurse way, and I love his mannerisms and the way that he goes about having conversations without revealing anything. He was just like, it's like, yes, typically we open the game and we run a few sets just to see how the team is guarding it. We just want to know because that informs your mm-hmm. first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, right? You're all trying mm-hmm. Everyone's trying to calculate, right? Throughout a game. And you want to be the one that's a better mathematician.
Yeah. Right. Nick used to do a thing. He'd go at somebody and even if the play was successful, he'd leave it alone.
Yeah.
He wouldn't run it again. So he could bring it back when he really needed a bucket because he knew how they was guarding it. Because if I keep milking it on you, then you'll change it and you'll adjust for the game. You'll be mm-hmm. aware. But if I run it and we score and we don't need that right now, I'm going to tuck it. And then fourth quarter, we need a bucket. And stuff ain't going right. We down 1. We down 2. I'm going to run that play because they ain't seen it since 4 minutes into the game. Mm.
You mentioned that you've encouraged Scotty to get a few threes up. Would that explain why he's taken 64 of his 173 threes in the first quarter?
I didn't say I encouraged him to get a few threes, though. I just said
it's been
shot.
Talked about, though. Sorry.
I just said shot. About,
though. Got to shoot him. Got to shoot him.
Yeah.
I think the first quarter, that's kind of when Pascal is establishing himself and, you know, as the main scorer on the team, he's kind of establishing he's setting like the pace of the game. So I think he's very aggressive in the first quarter. As is Fred, they're trying to establish themselves and what the game is going to look like. So I think a lot.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
At the time, Scotty finds himself in like just a short corner the dunker spot or in the corner. So those are the shots that are open. And I think it's just a way of him to be just to be a part of like what's going on. And I mean, recently when Gary was out, he was actually like starting at the 2. So, you know, he was just trying to fill a void. I think he feels good about those shots. And I don't think it's an issue with him taking them. I think it's good actually.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, as we're talking about the most valuable skill, the most valuable way to get experience in something is by taking them, and that means taking them within games. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to CJ, you know, first conversation we had is it was about, you know, what we saw from Scotty's jumper changing in the offseason, which was work with you, and it does look fluid. It looks great. I just think like
you're the reason the show came about. That's crazy. Think about it. Like, he's
actually
the reason that the show even happened. That's the whole reason. Actually, that tweet and that conversation is the whole reason this moment happened.
Yeah. And damn, Brian is crazy. The one who posted it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Man, that's what's wild. Up.
But, you know, through all that, like, I mean, it might just come back to this is all part of the process, right? Like the jumpers fall, the jumpers don't. He'll go 4 or 5 like he did a couple of days ago. Then maybe it's 0 of 3. Probably rhythm, timing, feel, flow, how you're feeling, all factors into that. But I enjoy seeing him score from the high post, mid post, that area. As we talk about, you know, Scotty becoming a point guard and getting to that point, his current role is kind of a de facto backup point guard, but his ball handling, his jump shot has to get to a certain level. So that way he becomes like a different level of threat, right? He's already a huge downhill threat. He's going to collapse defenses nonstop, but teams are going to snuff that out and they're going to, you know, collapse their defense like they're doing with Pascal. Pascal's always got 5 people guarding him, right? So when that happens for Scotty, he's got to have those counters. So from your standpoint, what has been the few things that you've seen this season from his point guard play where you're like, those are a few things that we're probably going to be able to play with during the off season?
I think the mid range is important for him. I think because he gets downhill so much and so easily, the defense is on his heels, their heels a lot. So if he can make, you know, that, you know, 20 to 15 footer and he can kind of live there, I think it's going to be, you know, that's when you'll see him jump from like, you know, 15 to maybe like in like the low 20s. And I think another thing that we stress like is just him playing off 2 feet more, getting to the line, because he goes to the basket, play off 1 foot a lot, and he gets in the air, you know, and a lot of that is to make plays. But he needs to start. I just encourage him to just play off 2 feet and just go through people's chest. You know what I mean? Just go through their chest and so he can get to the line, because if, you know, he gets to the line, our goal is to get at least 6 free throws a game. You know, that's just all of us just kind of – that's just us, like me and him, just kind of developing what it's going to look like. You know, can you hit, you know, 2 threes a game? Can you get 6 free throws a game? Can you, you know, get like 8 to 10 points in isolation? Can you get a couple offensive rebounds so it can kind of – you know, we can kind of shape him to be like that all NBA guy, and what his usage is going to be and where different areas he can affect the game and just make the biggest impact offensively. You know, once he starts to continue to grow, like, and he gets that experience and things like that. So I think we're really going to work on his 2-foot finish, his little shots in the paint. I mean, he's got great touch, but little fades. I think he made one against Memphis to tie the game when he went left 2 dribbles, jumped off 2, little pump fake, little fade. Like all those shots,
That was a tough shot.
Yeah, like all of those shots are going to be important for him if we want to get to him to where he wants to be. And I think the mid-range for alpha scorers in the NBA, like they all take mid-range jump shots and they all hit them at a you know, a pretty high rate. I think right now he might be like top 5 worst mid-range shooters in the game, but I'm just encouraged that he's shooting them. And I think he's benefiting more from, you know, instead of taking what the defense gives you, like get, like, just look for that. Like initially, don't let you shooting the ball be a second thought. So just those things, like working on everything that we've done, but definitely like playing off 2 feet, different shots in the paint, and always shooting it in that mid-range jump shot.
I mean, it's got to feel good, too, to be able to look in your locker room and see somebody add exactly what we're talking about, adding to your game, and then turn them into an all-star. Like, this is exactly what Pascal added to his game, all the little fades, the little short mid-range shots, tightening up his counters. Remember, we talked about, was he moving faster? And it was just his handle was better. He was just reacting. He was smoother. It was less steps to get to moves. It was sharper. It was, I need 2 dribbles instead of 4 now. Or I need 3 instead of 7. Mm-hmm. You reach between the legs, boom, right into whatever it is. It was just a rhythm. And all those little shots, the spin backs, the pump fakes, the spin, the pivoting that Pascal added to his game is what took him up another level. It brings you into a position to get 10 more points in the game now, if you really look at it. Based off stuff that you pass out of, that you got other stuff you can go to that mess around and get you a 8-foot bank shot just because you got your pivot working.
Yep. And I think and Pascal has such a good feel for like it's almost like he's playing chess out there. You know what I mean? He's really allowing you to overplay him some way so he can get to his spin back or so he can get to. I love when he gets to the middle of the paint at like 12 feet and just shoot the easiest step back jumper. Like nobody takes that shot. You know what I mean? And then you see him take it with like three guys around him, but it's really just like somebody might be digging it. It's just an open shot. So yeah, I think and I have the, like we have discussion like Scotty's not even thinking that. He just think he gets to the front of the rim and I'm going left shoulder or right shoulder every single time. Like so like it hasn't even slowed up for him. But
He's just going to what got the high success rate right now. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. He mentioned that CJ too, with Pascal, that he found it so crazy that he operates from that part of the court.
yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about like he'll ISO right there and everybody can be digging and helping, but he know where he want to get to already. He know what shots that's in his wheelhouse, so it don't matter what he see around. He just need to know where he at. He got his he got his release higher in those shots, so now the arc on the ball is higher and it don't have to be this big jumping shot. He gets to his shot pocket faster because the release is higher and he just gets it over people. He gets that little bump on his defender, the little half step back, and the rest of the help don't really matter. You overcommit. I got two guys on the wings. I got Fred and Gary standing to the right and left of me.
I get a little giddy when I see him just take over a game using his mid-range and only his mid-range. Like he hits like five or six shots, and then the team's just like on their heels. And they're like, "Oh shit, uh-oh, he's hitting
'Cause
this now."
you know when you're in that
That way.
space, like I'm wonderable from the rim, so you don't want to crowd me. You don't want to send a double. It's like they used to put Dirk there in the middle of the floor, right? Smack dad in the middle of the floor. Now you bring somebody. I don't have to be a great passer to make the play from here. I just got to get it out of the double team. And all the passes are shorter from there.
Since Jakob Poeltl has joined the team, mostly the last two games, because the first game he only played like 12, 13, 17 minutes, something like that. But the past two, he's played a lot more, obviously. And you mentioned the free throws with Scotty, and funny enough, his last two games, he's taken 17 free throws. Like a lot more free throws. So this is the last phase of the roles that I mentioned, is that now he's in this one. Where it's kind of like a combination of everything. Now he's playing backup point guard. Sometimes he's a screener. Sometimes he's a ball handler. Sometimes he's working in the dunker spot. It's kind of everything. So, what has been your takeaways from the past two?
I'm just happy he don't got to bang with freaking Steven Adams. Like
Yeah, man. Jeez. Poor dude, man.
I heard that.
the shot goes up and he don't even look at the rim. He just goes and just bear hugs Steven Adams every single time. But I mean, I think I'm glad that he don't have to do that. I think that's gonna like that allows him to be a lot more fresher. Like, he has a lot more legs on the shot and different things like that because he's not banging with those big guys all game. And I think Jakob is a high IQ player. I think the more high IQ players that you put around Scotty, it's gonna be a lot better because like he's making certain cuts that I know Jakob can see. I think Jakob hit him on the first play of the game a couple times. He went back door, and I think Scotty, like, he's always played with the big, ever since he's been freaking in the 10th grade with Vernon Carey. You know what I mean? He's always played with a good big, all the way to Mount Vernon when he had De'Aaron Sharp, I think. Yeah, so he's always been playing with the big. So I think he likes to find the big. You'll probably see more no look passes, but
The look, the no looks.
I think he got a no look. We always say like he got a no look passing disease where like it might be like CJ might be right open on the wing and I might just be like just look for no reason. He's like that's just how he is. But I think it'll help. I think it'll help him. He can. I think Scotty's a good defender when he's able to just run and run around. He's just like a good rotational defender. I think by not being on the big, he can kind of like pick up the point guard's full court and he can roam more. being help and different things like that. So I think it's going to help a lot, both offensively and defensively.
There was a clip from the offseason. I can't remember who it was, but they were talking to Scotty and they said, "Yo, you play, you know, 1 to 4." And then he quickly corrected them and he says, "And five. And five. I play 5 2."
I don't know. I put that work in. You're going to acknowledge it.
I got
Yeah,
the
for
bruises to
sure.
show it.
Man.
CJ, you got something? Anything you're
Man,
curious about?
I got one thing. What's the most consistent thing that you have to remind him about on his jump shot?
His I, he broke his wrist when he was in the ninth grade, so sometimes he doesn't follow through. And his hands are so big, that sometimes you'll see him go like this. So main thing is his follow through. And more recently, it's been like sometimes he plays too upright where he doesn't engage his legs to a
I
shot.
can see that.
So it's those two things. Those are the two main things, but mostly his wrist. You know, we've been continuing working on his wrist just to get it, you know, like his wrist doesn't like, you know, a Steph wrist is like abnormally
Nah, I
triggered,
had
like
that
flow.
when I had surgery on my wrist. Like it's a lot of work to get that flexibility back. Like to even get it to be able to go back and forward. Like I still got some restrictions still in it to this day, and we've been doing rehab on it since then. Dry needling and all that. It just take time. Like, especially if you didn't address it earlier when he was younger, he probably didn't take it as serious as he would now. Obviously, like that's just human nature. Like I'm a kid, I'm a superhero at that time. I don't need you to tell me to do all this tedious stuff. But now, like to break that stuff up, it takes it because your body is basically adjusted to it. And you've been doing all these reps adjusted to it. So now you got to reprogram your brain basically to let you be able to do it a different way.
Those are the two main things.
Double down on that question. What is the thing you have to remind him of the most in terms of keeping him sharp?
Just in general, just being.
Just being aggressive mindset, always being
Yeah.
aggressive.
Attack, attack,
I
attack.
can see that. I can see
Like
that.
between like my thing for him is to try to score 7 points a quarter. You know, because that's gonna keep him engaged and like trying to be aggressive and trying to score. I don't think we've hit that. We might have hit it like once or twice. But I was even thinking about like getting him like a wristband that say 7 points a quarter, or like when I'm at the games holding up a sign, just because it's just times that, well, he won't assert himself into the game just because the game is flowing, you know, well, but still, you'll get you a couple buckets there, or get you a couple looks just so you can just continue to stay in the rhythm of the game for when we need you to make a shot. Like you've gotten up, you know, like a couple of shots. Like sometimes you might just see guys just come down on a fast break and just pull a three, and they just trying to like stay engaged into the game and just keep a rhythm. So I'm just trying to get him to stay aggressive and just stay consistently aggressive throughout the whole game, where it's just not like if he scores, he's gonna look to score the next play, you know, like if he scores in spurts a little bit too much, where he'll score like six points in a row, and then he might have like 6, 8 points in the first quarter, and he might not shoot it again till like the beginning of the fourth quarter. And I'm like, bro, you can't
Can't do
like
that.
you can't do that. And it's just but the game might be flowing in a way where other guys are hitting and different things like that, but he still gotta stay engaged. So I'm gonna talk to him a lot. I mean, I've been talking to him and just reminding him to just stay aggressive on offense. And I think that's pretty much it. And shoot, and just shoot your shots. You know what I mean? Shoot the shots that you feel comfortable with, and just stay aggressive.
Not for nothing, the rubber bands. So when I was going through, like when the league was changing, we was shooting more threes, and I was going into this just my transformation to turn into a quote unquote shooter, like growing that part of my game to be able to shoot in all different ways and having confidence in shooting off screens on the move more and picking and popping, just changing all the way I was changing the way I played basically. I used to wear a rubber band that says stay strapped. Like we talk about carrying a threat. So I used to wear a rubber band that says stay strapped. I used to hashtag it on stuff, everything. just for like a mental thing.
Yeah.
That way, always carry the threat, stay strapped. That was my two terms that I used just to always have that on me. Like, if you got space, you let it go.
Yeah, because you should let that. You should let that thing go.
I had, but that was what, and that was the role that I took on, though.
Yeah,
and that was what was wanted from me. That was what I worked on, and it was no, I didn't lose no confidence in it because I worked on it. I put in all that time, like I earned the freedom we was talking about. Like I had the utmost confidence in that part of my game, especially because my coaches gave me the green light in it because they saw me work on it. They watched me do it every morning after practice, off day, whatever, too. So, like, that was a fact. It wasn't so much like me trying to – it was me reminding myself, like, yo, this is it. Like, you got it. Same thing with him. Like, he got all the stuff we talking about. It's just about him remembering and being, like you said, being engaged in that, like, what am I looking for? I'm the play. It's gonna come off me. Like I'm gonna get to the basket. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna make the right one.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
Man, that's a wristband too. I am the play. Jeez, short, punchy. That's pretty good.
That is crazy. That is crazy. I put that on. I might have to put on a shirt. Huh? I'm the play.
I am the play. Yeah,
that's crazy. That sounds like an old air.
It does too. Shout out to N1. Those mixtapes are awesome.
Yo, they came to Dallas and they broke the rim in the where I used to hoop it. I was mad for like a month. I hated them. Like, I lost all my love for them because they broke the rim. And you know, the rims in the hood ain't getting replaced.
Nah, you got
past.
Like 3 to 4 like, months that jump might get.
Yeah, it was main event. I remember exactly who did it. So if you somehow see this, bro, you broke my heart for like half a summer.
Brian, anything you wanted to ask CJ? Anything that comes to mind? No pressure or anything like that. Just I wanted to offer it to you. I love asking CJ questions too.
Yeah. What was a typical summer workout for you? Like or a summer day for you? Like I know I seen like JJ Redick tell us like what his routine was, like before the game, after the game. Like what was a typical like summer routine and then like
in a
pre-game, post-game.
Yeah, so in the summer, without like day start, I'm up at 6:30. Give me some, like I don't like to eat a lot before the first one. I give me some light and I go strength and conditioning at 7:30. Mm-hmm. 7:30 to what, 9. Give me like a shake, some fruit or something. And I would head from there to the gym. And that's when I would do my skill work. So like skill work would start at between 9 and 10. We get an hour and a half there. Go eat lunch, do whatever recovery I'm doing, you know, hang out at the house, be with the folks, and either like do either be some cardio in the evening or be a hoop session. This is one of the other. So like obviously you don't want to hoop every single day in the summer and be burnt out and put because you're working so hard on your skill sets in the morning, but you also want to make sure you got somewhere to put it. So I try to hoop 2 or 3 times a week at least, and then the other times it would be row machine, bike spin class, anything like that in the evening. And that would be how the days would go. Some days there'd be double sessions of shots, depending on, you know, just the time. Like I would pick times during the summer to like go 2-a-days. So like, all right, I'm gonna get 1 week this month, and we're gonna do double sessions on the court that 1 week. We're not gonna burn it out, but we're gonna push just to get your body ready to ready to go beyond this because the NBA season is hard. Like it is.
Yeah.
Like it's a grind. So you wanna kind of put some of that. It's a grind getting up every day, but you wanna put a little extra on it. So you can be prepared because it's going to be a time somebody's going to get hurt. Your minutes going to go up.
Yep.
Like it's going to pop up on you. Like you got to be ready for that. It's going to be a time when you're not playing as much and you're going to have something you can fall on that you know can keep you in shape and not tax you out for when you do get thrown back in there. Like it's a lot of things that you try to I try to prepare for in the summer. And, you know, and the workouts would just be us breaking down the games. Like what are the type of shots you getting? What are the type of plays they like to run for you? We're going to max out on those. Then we're going to talk about, like, if I'm playing with Pascal, like, where he like to post up at. So if they go double, where's the pass coming out of? Let's get reps at that shot. Like, we just breaking down the game. And then we do – and it's obviously, you know, all the other skill. We start with ball handling and build up through finishing and build up into that stuff. But the meat of my workouts was understanding spacing and what we were trying to do. So when I got in the game, I just played because I had been looking at it all summer. Like,
right,
I have to think about it. I just knew how to find space, worked on. If the guy that was guarding me turned his head, I could not be standing in the same spot when he turned around.
Right.
Like as a shooter, this is me. You know what I mean? Like even if it was two steps to the right, he couldn't turn around and just and see me in the same spot. He had to have to do a reaction like, oh, it had to be, oh, it had to be something. It had to make him move.
Right.
And those are like the main things. And obviously the condition is a big thing for being when you want to shoot, especially when you want to shoot on the move.
Yeah.
I imagine it's different for Scotty, just because of the roles that we're talking about. Conditioning, like I've always been amazed at CJ when I was watching him in the league, is like constantly moving, how quickly he got his shots off, how fast his feet were, and how quickly he got into his shot ready. It happens so fast. And like those are like the those random days in August and July where you're doing that work. Like that's where it pays off.
Mm-hmm. So
it's cool seeing that.
I should have mentioned footwork too, because that was a big part of the summertime. Footwork in every situation. Like I would stand in certain spots and just do the three steps of the finishing part of the process over and over and over and over and over. Like we wouldn't even do the whole drill. Like I would stand facing the corner I was gonna shoot in, and I would work on what we call machine gun, the 1-2-3 spinning into space, catching the ball and shooting it. And we would just rep that out. And then we turn it into a whole drill coming off a screen. Yeah. But everything always started with the footwork of it and the breakdown of why it needs to be this way, how hard this step should be, what step is going to help you keep your balance, what step is going to create the most space. Like we broke it down into step by step, how many steps I should need till it became any type of situation I was in, I could get my feet ready to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
No matter how close you were, how far you were, what kind of screen it was, where I was at, I was always going to have enough strength to shoot it from deep. With the same footwork, it had to be that way. You want to be a shooter, this this is what you need.
Yeah.
You know, like you want to be a scorer, what are the things that we need? What was where you get your shots at? What how crisp can we make you in the spaces that you play in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you used to come off that floppy going right, like to your strong side, and it's like square up so crazy. Like they always lock and trail you. You always get that junk off. Like so always I knew, get that.
If you trailing me and I'm going to my right and my left hand's inside, I'm even faster because I don't have to turn my whole body.
No, the other way.
The other way. So going with my left hand on the outside.
Yeah.
That took forever to get right. Like not but not like, right, not the footwork, but just the balance running full speed to be able to plant that left foot when you catch it and not go drifting still. Because you got to bring your left shoulder all the way around. If you don't, you're going to just float away. And that was the biggest thing with that.
Yeah, I forget what game. I think you might have hit like a shot to tie the game or to win the game going that way. And that shit was crazy because he was literally like right there on your hip. And you let it go. I don't remember what game it was, but I remember you seeing that like, damn, maybe I don't know how you got that shit.
It was probably many games that you did that.
Yeah. I don't know. That shit was crazy. That way is so hard.
Yeah, I
that
learned.
That way is so hard to find balance, going to your strong side.
Yeah. Because you'll float. Like, it's especially running at a good pace. Like, it's just drilling and drilling and drilling and finding a way. What it's the biggest thing is getting that left shoulder or your right shoulder, if you're right-handed, all the way around. Because if you don't, it makes the shot longer because you got to shoot it over your body and you turn it at the same time. And that was the hardest part about getting, and I can't even call it master, but just getting to a point where I could getting good shots that way.
Yeah.
JJ was really good at it too. JJ Redick going right, he was really good at that. Like even if he floated, his body would still be squared up, which he was really good at.
Yeah, sometimes JJ's lower half wasn't even square to the basket. It was just all upper body that was square.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how I felt going to my right. I felt like I just needed my upper body because my left shoulder was inside, so it would line up with the rim faster. Yeah. So the bottom didn't matter if I could just get my shoulder square.
Yeah. But I think you shot the ball a lot. I think JJ's more like a really like a jump shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I think you was kind of the first guys who kind of like shoot kind of how Steph like shoots, like where you're not like jumping like so high,
mm-hmm.
but you like just using kind of like, I don't know, more mechanics and like not a set shot, but kind of a set shot. But
I understand what you're saying. But that's the preparation part, the footwork we're talking about, because my feet always under me. I don't have to go leaping into the air. because I'm using everything to shoot it.
Yeah.
Especially in the corners. It had to get like that because I wanted more corner threes because they were short.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out how what would be the fastest way to get them off. And I had to speed it up because – and they were encouraging corner threes. So I'm like, I'm not going to pass up no opportunities to shoot them.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was the thing. That was the thing that started that process, was speeding up that process in the corners. Like always being ready. I learned that from Kyle Korver. I watched Kyle Korver play from the bench when I was in Utah, and I never saw him standing straight up. Like I never, even if he was three passes away, his hands are always somewhat ready. He always was, he was the person I learned how to read rotations from when I was away from the ball. Like I wouldn't know possessions I was going to get a shot off like 10 seconds before it happened, just because I knew they rotations. So I would position myself in places where I would have to get a shot because of the play we were running.
Right.
I would switch with the guy out of the corner to the wing on purpose. Like not a no offense, but I'm the better option for this.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
We're gonna move to get the guy off the nail, and now I'm the guy at the wing, and I know they want to rotate from here, and I'm gonna be the guy to get the kick out. So either I get a shot or the guy in the corner gets a wide open shot, which he's better at shooting.
Right.
Because I get a full rotation or a late rotation.
Yeah.
Damn. Steph Curry talked about that too during the offseason. There was a clip that went viral of him explaining how to be a good shooter to some kids. And he was talking about the 1-2-3 that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's like, start there. That's your foundation. Get that down. Then start making it faster and faster and faster. Then make it more steps and gradually get to a point where it's a easy shot. But those are the shots, like you said, Brian, those are the shots that always wowed me. The CD would make is like you're fading, you're off balance, but he was finding ways between his footwork, balance, strength, all that, which is all like a combination of your off-season work, and he was hitting it. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And remember, Scotty, to hit those too. I'm kidding. Not going to put that pressure on
him. If he hit those, but we out of here.
Yeah,
boy.
It's over with. We out of here. Like,
it's
over with. Like, there's no way. Yeah, it's no guarding that.
No, no.
He turns into T-Mac.
T-Mac?
For real.
That's what he turns into.
T-Mac is different.
Yeah.
That was a different beast. When he was at his peak. Yeah, true. But just one thing, like when he was at his peak, there was not a person. When he was at his peak, there was not a scarier score during that phase of his prime, right? Like when he was going toe to toe with Kobe and giving Kobe work. And like, we know Kobe, man, like he didn't fool around. When he saw a challenge, like he embraced it and he usually won. But T-Mac was one of the people that was like, no.
And I'm 6'8", 6'9", long.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got him in Houston. I didn't get him too young. He was still killing, but I got him in Houston. He was a little slow, but it was still tough. Like,
but in Orlando, it was just like crazy. Yeah. Like,
I didn't get that one.
Like he was the most athletic person on the floor, 6'8", and shooting walk up threes. Like that's what he wanted to get to. Like that's
the
crazy.
We used to call it the T-Mac. The Hezzy to the
They called it the T-Mac.
Like,
yeah. Now Pascal's hitting those.
Yeah. And then you get a dude, and then like who's the he's like the first to me, he's like the first version of what? Like KD basically. Like he's the biggest, longest one playing like that. Like that just every spot on the floor he could get to, finish on you, past it. He was playing point guard a lot. He had the ball in his hand. He's the primary ball handler. Like especially
T-Mac was tough. Yeah, T-Mac was tough, man. I'm from Florida, so that was
okay.
That was that guy. Like, I played against his brother, but so like, T Mac was that guy.
And then he was like super, super athletic in the beginning before he had any injuries. Like it was like otherworldly type. Like,
like him and Vince.
Yeah, it was wild.
Him and Vince. Yeah, the boys just jumping crazy. Jeez.
One of the biggest what ifs, I think.
Man, for sure. But I don't know. But does T Mac get to turn into that T Mac if he stays though?
Probably not. You're right. Probably not.
Not saying it's not a good duo still. Like, still a great duo. But, like, does T-Mac turn into – but then at the same time, you could look at it without so much load, does T-Mac have less injuries?
Yep.
So now, you know, we can – it's two sides to that coin.
Yeah. That's on the front
office. He might have got there a little later.
Yeah.
He might have got crazy a little later, and it might have prolonged his peak a little bit longer. Yeah.
We could actually have this conversation for hours. This was a Hoopers conversation, and I love it. Strictly Hoops.
With That's CJ what it Miles. Is, man. I'm not media.
No, you're not. You're not.
I'm not media, man. I just got a microphone.
That's another bracelet for you, by the way.
Yeah, that's another shirt.
Not media. I need to start selling stuff on Instagram. I got to get it.
For real.
Start I am the play.
Yeah, I'm the play.
I'm not media. I'm a hooper.
Yeah. This was a great combo, man. This was so fun. It worked out exactly how I thought it would. The part where you guys are going back and forth just chatting was probably my favorite part. Brian, thanks so much, man. This was really cool.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
No, I appreciate y'all, man. I enjoyed the conversation, man. I can't believe this is y'all's job, man. Just talking about who's blessing.
Nah, hey, man, look. I don't got to leave my house, bro. I take my kids to school. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's really crazy.